Okay, so we have Stephanie here from Rocket Fund. Stephanie's actually at Caltech and has the Rocket Fund, which she's going to introduce today. It's a clean tech focus, and we're really excited. So a bit of trivia. So before Innovate Pasadena, before Friday Coffee Meetup, there was something called EntreTech, and Stephanie ran EntreTech, which is the precursor to all this. So we're very excited to have her. She's been in the entrepreneurship and innovation field for I'm not going to say forever. I'm going to say at least 5 years, something like that. Anyway, Stephanie, we're very excited to have you. Thank you for coming.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do what we discussed, and that is say how many in this particular audience are interested in clean tech and sustainability. Good. And how many of you are starting clean tech or sustainability companies? Okay. So we have a few. Good. So this is for you. So, as he said, I'm Stephanie Yanchinsky. I run the commercialization programs at the Resnick Sustainability Institute, which is part of Caltech. And what the Resnick does is focus on the science that is integral and key to solving some of the major sustainability problems that we face outside. So the Resnick is really dedicated to having an impact in the real world out there, and I'm part of that. So the story that I'm going to tell you today is a story. It's a startup story, actually. It's similar to what you're facing right now. It's no different, except it's a program startup. And it started with founding something called First Look West, FLOW. This is a national business plan competition, originally for students who were thinking about starting clean tech companies out of academia. It was funded by the Department of Energy. And we ran it actually for 7 years, and it was very successful. We provided training, we provided hands-on support, and of course we had prize money that helped the companies get started. And after 7 years, we can say that we helped start 20 companies that were successful or still running. And altogether, our companies were able to raise close to $80 million in follow-on funding, and that's a combination of investment and government money. So out of FLOW, again, thinking about the startup parallels to what you're doing, we worked with close to 1,000 entrepreneurs. And the one thing that we would keep telling them is, okay, your technology is cool, but really, in the end, you have to shape it into a product that somebody will pay something to buy. And that was like a mantra. It was a theme that went through our business plan competition. And I know that you all face that, defining your customer base, defining your value proposition as you start up. It's tough, and it's certainly tough for people who are in love with technology. So what we found is, and what we would say to them is, go out and talk to your customers, try to talk to as many as possible, talk to 50, talk to 100, and by the time you finish that, you'll have a pretty good idea about what your technology is going to be about. So they would go and do that. The problem was that the customers would say, well, you know, your technology is really, really cool, but come back in a couple of years when you've got something that we can test, something that is closer to what we might want to buy. And we found that there was precious little money for that. In fact, there's still no money for that. Tiny slice, if you like, but very vital slice of funding. Basically, it's the funding that you need after the academic lab or after the garage and before you actually have a product where investors begin to show interest. So what happened was this resulted in us, meaning Caltech, partnering with six California utilities, Southern California Edison, Pacific Gas and Electric, SoCal Gas, San Diego Gas and Electric, Sacramento Municipal Utility District, and two munis, Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, which is the second largest municipal utility in the country, and SMUD, as I mentioned. And together with a family foundation, we put together a grant program that we call the Rocket Fund, specifically to support these companies with money to be able to build that prototype that they could begin demonstrating with their customers. So what is the Rocket Fund? So as I mentioned, The goal is to help the companies that are coming out of the garage and out of academia build that first commercial prototype that they can test in the field. So what they can do with that is get real-world experience about how their technology will work as a product. But the key thing is that they have to work with a customer, so they get real-world feedback as well. There are a lot of programs out there, some that actually fund at the earlier stage, that's typically friends and family. Then there's other funding that comes in later stage, as I've mentioned. Sometimes it's government grants, sometimes it's investors. We're the slice of money that's in between. And we don't give large grants, but they are absolutely strategic to the development of your company. We like to think of the program as free, fast, and flexible. Free, because we don't take IP. Fast, because from application to getting the grant is typically about 6 months. And flexible, because, first of all, it's your strategic goals that will drive how you use the money, as long as it fits with what our parameters are, our criteria. And we're flexible in reporting requirements. A lot of government grants are very onerous that way, and it's really tough for a startup to be able to manage all the bureaucracy that goes with reporting for grants as well as trying to build your company. So we keep that streamlined. Now, I think there's a couple of other things I'd like to mention as to why we've been so successful. One is that our program gives you a chance to work with utility experts that really, they're not only engineers and understand the technology, but they also understand what works in the grid marketplace that they are part of. And increasingly, that's important for all clean tech startups, whether in fact you want your utilities as potential customers or not. The grid is changing, as you know, and there's a lot of technologies out there that should be feeding into that changing grid. The other reason that we have been successful, or one of the other reasons that we have been successful, is what we fund. The grants range from $25,000 to $75,000. Not a huge amount of money, but they're very smart and targeted. So we'll pay for things like equipment purchase or parts purchase. We'll also pay for buying consulting services to help you understand scaling up the manufacturing process and how you can shape that to be able to manufacture your product. We'll pay for certification. That's increasingly important to be able to convince your customers that you have a product and you have to do it earlier and earlier. And that can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, we help with that. Lab testing. We'll pay for lab testing. So we cover building the prototype, of course, and iterating the prototype. So we cover all of that that other programs typically won't cover. Now, the Rocket Fund covers both the utilities and what they're interested in. So if we're thinking about energy efficiency, demand response, new forms of lighting, for instance, EV charging, grid storage, grid management, software that actually is now in the macro level beginning to manage the energy flow and the energy consumption around a grid. It could be a microgrid, it could be a large grid. So that's one side of what we tend to support. The other side is called sustainability, and honestly, that includes everything else. We've supported advanced transportation, for instance. We supported CO2 sequestration. We supported the water-energy confluence, where those two are coming together. So it's a huge bucket where we try to capture the latest trends, if you like, in that is emerging in clean tech. Renewables fall into the sustainability category. So if you're developing anything on the renewables side, that certainly fits there. I'll tell you, we've just closed our Rocket Fund for this year, but I'll tell you a bit about the process so that you can think about maybe applying for next year. We're going to open our applications in the fall, and we certainly invite anybody who thinks that you might be a fit for the Rocket Fund to apply. It's a three-stage process. There's an initial screening that we do that where we see whether you're in scope or not and whether you're at the right stage of development for us. Then it goes, the second semifinalist stage goes before the Technology Advisory Committee of experts who take a look at that. They take a look at your information. You're going to be required to provide a bit more in a due diligence form. And out of that, we pull the finalists who will then present in person at Caltech to the review panel that will make the decision about the awards. After the awards are given, there's a bit of a negotiation period where we make sure that we're on the same page as to how you're going to use the money. And by the way, we do expect that you would be able to build your prototype within 9 to 12 months of getting the money. And that so far, it's proven to be true. The companies that we've been able to award have been able to do that. I want to make sure I don't miss anything because I tend to be passionate about this and I tend to roll on with missing some key points. One of the things that is important about what we set up, going back to the idea about the startup and how we're a startup program, as I mentioned, we grew out of Flow. This was the business plan competition because we saw there was a need from our customers, in this case it was the company clients that we serve, to have this kind of funding. And on the other side, we have a membership base that we also serve who support these companies with their funding. So we've been able to establish channel relationships with organizations such as Wells Fargo. They run a program called IN2 with the DOE's National Lab, the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, that financially supports startups in the building technologies area. We work with the Electric Power Research Institute, which is an international, actually, research association that serves the electrical industry and mostly the utilities that are their membership. So we have a strategic relationship with them where if you fit, again, with their criteria, then you can get some validation and lab testing done in their excellent facilities or through their connections. We have a working partnership with Itron and with Ansys. Ansys is an engineering design firm that can help you iterate your prototype. And we're building out that membership base specifically and strategically to be able to support you, the startup company. We look at what you need and say, we're going to go out and try and create a partnership that's going to support that. Not least, these potential partners could be customers for your product. So we're building out our program to be able to talk to Shell, for instance, that has a huge interest in renewables. They're doing a lot of investment in technology discovery, and they support and will invest in companies. There's other big players like that that have venture funds that we are linking up with. And this year, for the first time, we've linked up with early-stage investors who are taking a look at our companies. These are a very special group. Some of them are names unknown to you, but it doesn't matter. The point is that they understand technology, they understand the risk that is involved in investing in companies at this stage, and sometimes they're willing to support that. So for the first time, they're going to be looking at our applicants. This year, we continue to grow. This year, we had a record number of companies apply. It was 97, which, I'm sorry, that's a lot to handle. But it just shows you that there's an unmet need for this kind of funding. So our future involves doing a membership campaign, in fact, to attract additional funding, not to build the infrastructure, not to build a huge organization, much more to just provide more money for more awards to really deserving companies. And our vision is that clean tech and sustainability is not going to happen by one or two events, one or two companies. It's going to be a lot of very solid, very good companies growing and contributing and making a difference. That's how it's going to happen. And so that's what we look for. Now, we've had some successes. As I mentioned, you know, the fact that we invest in things that other grant programs don't. We come in at just the right time when this funding is needed and the companies are connecting with customers but can't build a prototype. We have this expert team from utilities that can really help us make these decisions. So we've really scored some successes. Four of our companies within 12 months of getting our rocket fund have been able to go and raise their first series, either seed or series A investment. And all of our companies have been able to connect with their customers in the way that we would like to see. And they've also gone on to win huge awards, either offered by the Department of Energy through ARPA-E or also through the California Energy Commission, the EPIC program, which, again, it'll be $1 million-plus kind of award that they can really use to begin scaling up and moving towards production of their eventual product. You can check out more about the Rocket Fund by going to the website at Caltech. If you type in First Look West, what'll happen is that the business plan competition page will pop up. And if you go there, there's a navigation bar for the tag for the Rocket Fund. Just type in there and you'll see all the information. You'll see our previous successes, those that have won awards. And I just would like to say that I'd love to see you, talk to you, see how we can help. I think what we do pride ourselves on doing is offering what we would call a concierge service. So that means that when you contact us, you talk to a real person who will work with you, direct you. If the Rocket Fund is not a fit, they'll direct you to other resources, connections to the utilities. Utilities offer, by the way, other programs that are for more advanced companies with products that are ready to roll, but maybe early stage, small market. We can be a bridge to those programs, as well as to our strategic channel partners. But I just want to say that we're here for you. And so I look forward to working with you. And I think with that, that's about it.
Thank you, Stephanie. I saw a lot of hands go up of people that are working on a startup in the clean tech space. So this is a great opportunity to ask a question of Stephanie. Not to put you on the spot, but I know you said you're the application time's closing. I know you have a record number of applications, but is there any chance that you could extend it for like an extra day for anybody that's in this audience?
Yes.
Yay. All right, so first question. Yes. All right, John, I'm going to hand the microphone to John. If you got a question for Stephanie, we'd love to hear it. This is a great time for questions. It's not a great time for stories about clean tech experiences with utilities and what your bill, you know, how it's too high. That's not a good time for that.
Hi, Stephanie.
First of all, just to say that, yes, if you get it to me, today is Friday. If you, the application form takes about 20 minutes to fill out, by the way, maybe 40 minutes. It's quite straightforward, I think quite simple. You probably have the information already. So just take a look at it. Shove it in. I would have to say that I'd have to get it by Sunday morning if that's something you can do. Take a look at it. Well, I'll definitely keep it open for you.
Over here, Stephanie.
Yeah. Hi, good morning. I was just curious, out of the 97 applicants that you received, what is the common thread of those that you accepted and the common thread of those that you did not accept?
Yeah, sure, good question. We look for, well, she's asking a very good question. What do we look for? We look for technology at a certain stage of development. So that means that it's been validated. It's gone through the proof of concept either in the garage or in the lab. And you may not yet have a design for your commercial prototype. We can pay for that. We can pay for you helping to do it. But you should be at that stage where you're looking to design it. The second thing we look for is that you have a potential customer in view. In other words, you've gone out, you've done your customer discovery, you've talked to the 100 that the iCore program says you should talk to. And out of that, you've found some early adopters who say, you know, if you can build it and we can test it, we might buy it. So that's the second crucial thing that we look for. The third thing is check out our website for the scope of technologies and software that applications that we will fund. You do have to fit within that. To be honest, it's pretty broad. So, and we're pretty flexible that way because we're here about trying to help as many as we can. So we've been particularly leading edge in adopting new trends, if you like, supporting new trends that nobody perhaps else wants to support.
Over here.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
On the sustainability side, I'm wondering, do you fund services as well as products? So, for example, we discussed briefly that my organization is fostering collaboratives among large players in town, Caltech, Edison, Water and Power, those guys, to see what they can do more effectively to combat the climate crisis instead of individually. A minute ago, you said it's going to be a lot of players working out there as a solution. Mm-hmm. I think they need to work together and leveraging resources to create the large impact that we need because we're in a crisis. What do you think?
Technically, we don't support service businesses. However, if you do have like a novel, let's say, software platform that is the basis for the service, then we would look at that because there's some novelty there. That's really what we do say. And sometimes we supported that in the past.
Back here.
Hi, Stephanie. Will Stevenson.
Yes.
If you're at capacity to some degree with the concierge service and the other things, how do people in industry help support the scale of what you're trying to do, either volunteer-wise or through other means?
Well, our industry partners have volunteered also to mentor companies, so where there's a fit with their strategic needs, they will on occasion actually work with the awardee. And we also have a network of Caltech alumni that are in industry, and they have a very strong technical background. A lot of them have seen products to market too, which is invaluable when you're trying to develop a business in this area. So that's something that we can provide. We also can provide connections to, as I mentioned, you know, early other funding sources that also often carry technical support with them. I mentioned earlier the Wells Fargo program that's run with the Department of Energy's National Renewable Energy Laboratory. You can actually, with that program, you can plug into the NREL technical support, their experts, as well as their facilities. It's a specific program designed for that.
Thank you very much for the information. 97 applicants have applied so far, and I believe yesterday when I checked it, 12 hours was left.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of those will be admitted? How much of fund is available? You know, it's not about the fund; it is about getting the idea to, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, for the semifinal round, we try to admit as many as possible because we have a very powerful technology advisory committee, and I want to expose them to as many clean tech innovations as possible, to be honest. So the initial screening round is really just for those that are out of scope or way too early or sometimes too late because they already have products. The second round, so we have a very large percentage, maybe two-thirds, 75% go through to the second round, even more. That we whittle down to a smaller group of maybe 15 finalists. How many we fund really depends on what you present. So I mentioned earlier that we have a range of funding from $25,000 to $75,000. We ask that our applicants provide staged asks. So in other words, what would you do with $75,000? What would you do with $50,000? What would you do with $25,000? It does not prejudice what we give you. If we feel that $75,000 is what you need, that's what you'll get. But sometimes we find, we look at that and we say, you know what? $50,000 will really be the game changer for them. And that means that you'll get something. You'll get $50,000. We can also bring in, on occasion, matching funds from the utilities. We've done that in the past. In fact, we've quadrupled one award through a matching fund from SoCalGas. So if there's a fit, we can help do that too as well. Yep.
Over here.
I'm just wondering, is the funding only for regional application, like in Southern California?
No.
It can be national.
Since the beginning.
Okay.
We have a focus on California because that's where we live and we're supported by the California utilities, but it's not required. That was a policy decision utilities took early, which kind of frankly surprised me because they're supported by ratepayers like myself. But they said good technology comes from anywhere. So we'll support companies that are located outside the state too, as long as they want to have a presence in California.
Okay. Okay, great.
Sorry. I think I might have missed this in the beginning, but you said that the Rocket Fund came out of Flow, which is like a business pitch competition. And how long has Rocket Fund been around again?
5 years.
5 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. So some of these companies are generating revenues now, of the earlier companies.
Yes, they are.
Uh-huh. And they're at the process of scaling up and producing.
If you want to check out two companies that are represent the two sides of what we fund, there's a company called Axiom Exergy. You'll find it on our website. It's a refrigeration company with novel refrigeration technology. They've gone on to raise their Series A, and I think they're raising a Series B, and they secured a $5 million contract with Con Edison in New York soon after getting a Rocket Fund. So that's one success story on the utility side. On the other side is Extreme Trucking, which is as its name implies, it has a novel technology for smoothing out the gap between the cab of long-haul trucks and the back end that deploys at speed, and they're able to reduce fuel consumption by 6%, which is quite a bit, actually, over the many miles that they travel. The interesting thing about that company is that they have migrated from their initial device to accumulating data on the truck and its movements and the airflow and everything actually that the trucking company wants to know. That's a second product which is probably going to overhaul as far as importance to the company, the original device. And that's what we often see actually with our tech companies, is that the data that they collect can sometimes be a bigger product, a more important product to their customers.
I think you read my mind, because I was going to ask you, what are some of the success stories? Now, what about on the other end? What were some of the companies that you looked at that you guys thought were very promising, but then for some reason the technology or the management team or whatever did not quite pan out?
This is going to sound embarrassing, but so far we haven't had a failure. I can't take credit for it. We have a very good group of people who can assess these things, that knows what works and knows the specific criteria of what we require and where the fit is. So I'm just surprised that the companies have gone on and been able to raise rounds. And one is on the verge of being sold, being acquired by a $1 billion company. And that was a fast growth, too. So I can't think of a real failure yet. But, you know, that doesn't mean it won't happen. It's just that it means we're young. We're a young program.
Well, that's a pretty good track record. I mean, even after 5 years. How much would you credit Rocket Fund and the team for helping those companies reach that success?
Again, I'm not going to be naive and say it was the only factor, because fundraising is a very complicated business, as you all know. And there's many things that go into that. It happens over time. The one thing that the Rocket Fund does, though, that contributes to it, is it de-risks the technology. So if you're an investor sitting on the other side, or even a grant manager sitting at the DOE, and you say, the technology actually has been de-risked in the real world, it makes you a lot more attractive, either as an investment prospect or as possibly a grantee. And we've seen that happen. The Rocket Fund has been fortunate to build up a reputation so that if you say you've won a Rocket Fund award, it definitely smooths the path a bit. Yeah, so it's been a contributor. And I have on record some of our Rocket Fund awardees saying it was vital, because it came in at that time where they needed the money.
This question is following one of the previous questions. Have you had any companies that they attended, they made it almost to the final stage, and you guys didn't admit them, didn't fund them, and they are doing good now? And what was the reason that they were not admitted?
Sure. We've definitely seen companies like that. It's because of the time frame, in fact, that they were presenting. Either they couldn't build a prototype within the time frame that we asked. They weren't quite at that stage. Sometimes they required a much bigger scale, and we'll admit this. You know, they required maybe $3 million to even just build the prototype. It's just big, and it's complicated and expensive. And so that was beyond our ability to do. And so they've gone on and got the money from some other source. And I would say that those are what we've seen. They're either just too early and unformed, but they've had a longer ramp up, or too late and they've already gone on. So we've seen some companies that we had to pass on. Yeah.
Over here.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
So within the consortium of the entire Rocket Fund, has there been collaboration between teams and between funded companies?
Interesting question. We certainly promote it, but the awardees tend to be in their silos. The one thing about clean tech is that, as you know, it's very, very broad, but at the same time, when you form a company, it's a very narrow silo of product, first of all, lab, and then product development, and then customer interaction. So they tend to, if you look at the range of technologies that we've funded, they're very different. So there's not a lot of opportunity to collaborate, if you like. But having said that, we foster it where it's possible. And we know there's a lot of crosstalk, especially between awardees up in the Bay Area, because they get to see each other. You know, they might be from Stanford, or and so they just meet maybe at the university at various coffee mornings like this. So there's a lot of crosstalk, and there'll be an exchange of people and ideas that happen there. But fostering the collaboration is hard when they're in such different areas. But we work it where we can.
Stephanie.
Over here.
Okay, so with all the applications and your experience with the companies that are applying, what are some interesting specific markets that people are going after? Is it really solar is such a big pop culture topic and there's so much innovation coming there, but what are some other markets in clean tech that you're seeing innovation?
So the trends are pointing towards more companies forming that are going to serve the water-energy interface. As you know, that California spends maybe 20% of its energy bill just pushing and managing water. So that's a huge and emerging interest for the utilities. They're willing to support that. And we noticed that there were a number of companies that are involved in either water treatment, for instance, or having microturbines installed, if you like, in existing current flows so you can generate small amounts of energy to serve maybe a microgrid. So we're seeing that as an area. Certainly irrigation, novel irrigation, where techniques, we've supported that in the past, where you can prove that you're going to save energy is something else. A coming area is the application of artificial intelligence to clean tech manufacturing, for instance. That is a future area, and we're just beginning to see companies really beginning to apply that. We have one application, actually, that tackled that. Robotics in clean tech manufacturing is another area that I would encourage people to look at because, again, it's just emerging. As far as technology is concerned, new materials is huge. A lot of those batteries are still trying to find new battery materials. I'm always astonished that people are still pushing it out there because it's hard. It's really hard to be able to field test these batteries and get them to work at the performance level that you need to replace what we have already. But there's a lot of work going on in new materials that in that particular area. So I think those are some of the ones that come to mind.
Any last questions? So thank you so much for your presentation. It was very generous of you to offer to extend the application for an extra day. Thank you for doing that. Is there anything that we can do as a group of innovators and entrepreneurs here to help the Rocket Fund?
I think just spread the word. That's all. Just, I would very much like us to be able to tap into the entrepreneurs that are in our area, in Pasadena in particular, but in the surrounding area, would really like to support that and come back and reconnect in a way that I haven't done so in the past couple of years. So I want to say two things. One is certainly if you know of people, apply first of all, but secondly, if you know of people that are starting companies, don't hesitate to send them to me. I'm always available to talk to anybody. I have an office on campus, always up for coffee. That's what we're there for. We're there to help you get started. It doesn't matter how early or conceptual. We've supported companies that are actually pre-commercial as long as they're moving forward in the right direction. So you can find me, actually, if you go to the Flow website, well, my email is stephanie.yanchinsky@caltech.edu. Nobody can spell my name right offhand, so check the website and you'll find me there. Don't hesitate to contact me.
Before I open it up to announcements, I want to let you know we're going to do something a little different next week. So we're going to do an open networking next week. So if you really enjoy all the networking and the meeting of people, we're going to do an event where you really get to meet a lot of people and get to tell your story about innovation and entrepreneurship to the people in the group. So next week, make sure and come for that for the open networking.